An Iowa City organization finds success through a basic approach to combat homelessness.
We are allowing people to take things one step at a time.
Plus, building construction confidence in a safe space. And finally, a co-housing community hopes to be a model for sustainability.
We hope that this kind of living will become more of the model in the future, and that'll be all for the good.
And it all starts right now on this edition of Iowa City in Focus.
For nearly 40 years, Shelter House has provided housing and supportive services to people experiencing homelessness. Now the nonprofit is looking to expand its housing first approach to provide a safe space for those who are chronically homeless.
It's very easy for us to say housing is a human right, but to see the impact that housing has on individuals has been amazing, and that's an understatement.
Many people know Shelter House for its overnight emergency facility, which operates a 70-bed shelter open to men, women, and families who are experiencing homelessness. In 2019, the nonprofit opened a new kind of facility. Cross Park Place targets individuals who've been living on the streets for more than a year and have a disabling condition, such as mental health or substance abuse.
To qualify for those services, you have to meet HUD's definition of chronically homeless.
This concept is known as permanent supportive housing.
Our first goal and our primary goal is housing. And we stop after that and we identify then, once somebody has moved into housing, what additional services they may need and they are interested in engaging in.
Staff offers a variety of support services, including case management, healthcare, medication management, and psychiatric services. These support services are optional, so tenants can take steps at their own pace.
For the individuals that we are serving here at Cross Park Place, those individuals have had very little support, routine, structure in their life. And so just moving into housing is a really big step. Our services here are really meeting people where they're at and not expecting more or less of them because this is their life and they now get to lead in where they want to be.
One of the people who moved into the 24-unit complex is Frank, but that's not what his friends call him.
Well, my real name is Frank Webb, but everybody just calls me Dog. I've been known as Dog since I was 14 years old.
Dog got into trouble with the law at a young age and began riding freight trains all across the country.
And I went everywhere. I mean, I've been to New York City, L.A., Vegas, Atlantic City.
Eventually, he chose this town as his permanent home.
And I got off freight train here in Iowa City and just never got back on.
One reason permanent supportive housing is considered a successful approach is because it ends up saving costs that fall back on the community.
They are high utilizers of our hospitals, jails, substance treatment facilities, shelters, law enforcement interactions, and so on. We know that those services are expensive.
Because in the wintertime, you had guys that get real cold out there. So what they do, they go run around and get arrested on purpose to go to jail so they could have a permanent place to stay. And guess who pays for that jail? The taxpayers.
So when somebody is spending every night of the year in one of those types of facilities, it's costing us as a community money compared to somebody living in their own apartment where potentially those services are being utilized in a healthier way.
As an example, Shelter House tracked an individual that we'll call Joe. While living on the streets, Joe made regular trips to the hospital for mental health because he felt that it was a safe space. The price of these trips cost nearly $600,000 over the course of 1 year. Let's compare that to after Joe had moved into Cross Park Place in April of 2019.
When he moved into Cross Park, his hospitalization utilization decreased significantly to the point where he had one ER visit in a year.
His resource cost dropped to $150,000 over a 7-month period of time after moving into permanent supportive housing. Joe was able to use the on-site psychiatric clinic, adjust his medications, and utilize the 24/7 staff to work through mental crises. Iowa City Police work closely with Shelter House, and this change has made a huge impact.
Before Cross Park Place, the options were moving an individual to a different space. Sometimes the option was jail. Other times the options were hospital. Now Cross Park Place allows us to take that individual back to the home.
Without Cross Park Place, Dog says he wouldn't be where he is today.
I'd be back in the penitentiary, I'd be dead. Simple as that. They make sure I take my medication, and I'm getting stronger and stronger every day.
But even this addition hasn't met the demand for those needing help.
We know that there are more individuals in our community that need this level of service and this level of supports. And so because of that, we identified that we needed to expand our permanent supported housing options that specifically work with individuals who are chronically homeless in our community.
This is the 501 Project, a 36-unit apartment complex being built directly next to Shelter House.
So 501 will be a mirror image of Cross Park Place. We will be serving the same population, the same services will be available there.
The plan is to open the facility in 2022.
The dollar amount in terms of dollars and cents savings is extremely significant. But getting back to more of the human element of it, you know, the fact that we are looking to solve problems that address issues of homelessness, that afford people places to go, safe spaces to live, the notion of building another building like Cross Park Place just makes a lot of sense for the community.
This will further help in providing that first step for those suffering from chronic homelessness.
There's a need to keep these people off the streets.
I have talked with many individuals who live their life from day to day just getting their basic needs met, and being able to move into housing and hear that they are able to actually think about something other than that basic need, such as where they're going to sleep that night or where they're going to get their food from, has really provided an environment for them to grow and thrive and to look at themselves in the mirror and be able to identify areas that they want to work on themselves.
Completing a construction project around the home can be intimidating, especially if you have limited experience. That's why the city teamed up with Kirkwood Community College and the Greater Iowa City Area Home Builders Association to offer a construction confidence course for women.
There has been useful things in every class we've learned.
The value of having the empowerment of other women.
A lot of it is just not even knowing where to start and having the confidence that you can do it.
So actually doing it and seeing that's like, oh, that's not as scary.
There's this idea that construction and remodeling can only be done by men, and that's not true. And it's just a matter of walking into the room and saying, yes, I can do this.
A lot of us didn't grow up learning how to fix our houses or doing different things in the house, so even knowing where to begin is a huge obstacle, and kind of building that confidence that you can do this is possible.
For me, it's given me a huge amount of confidence just to try some things at home that I was a little too scared to do.
We think that we can't do it, and the reality is this doesn't take brute strength. It's not a privileged knowledge, but it is the kind of knowledge that can put you in a better financial state and can get you into a house that you can afford and you can start earning equity in and actually start improving the house and make it worth more.
I love do-it-yourself projects. I'm always doing them at my own personal home, and I just never had an opportunity to kind of learn the right way to do it.
We're each other's cheerleaders, you know. There's not one person that feels like they know more than the other. I feel like, you know, right or wrong, we're just helping each other through it. We all kind of have the same goals, and it's just been exciting to just expand on more women in the area looking to do the same things.
Getting to be with a bunch of other people who are at the same level, getting to ask like maybe what you think is a silly question, but in a like very safe environment where you're able to ask the question and then do it right then.
I think I found most valuable is being in a space with other women who are trying to also learn and being uncomfortable around a space and no judgment. A lot of times you're in spaces and places where you're kind of like, I don't know if I'm doing this right, but having a group of other women who are kind of like, I don't know if I'm doing this right either, and being able to support each other.
It's amazing that the city gave us these spaces. We could definitely not do the things that we've been able to do and teach the things that we've been able to teach.
Knowing that we're working with rehabbing houses for the city ticks a lot of boxes for me for work I'm happy to be doing.
Last week I got to put up cabinetry on my own, and it was really cool to come back and tell my boys that mom put up a cabinet that somebody else is going to utilize.
It's great having these houses that are being remodeled because they aren't perfect. Your house isn't going to have perfect framing and everything isn't going to be square and plumb and level. So starting from something with that, then it just kind of helps you out when you are in your own house, when you're going to be running into those issues.
To actually do it with your hands is a huge difference. And so being able to be here in an actual house and not even in a classroom with like a fake house, we're able to kind of find all those kind of strange things that come with an older home.
It becomes muscle memory. It becomes something that I'm comfortable with doing. It becomes something it's second nature to me at this point.
You're going to form relationships in this class, and when you try and tackle something at home or in a property that you purchase, reach out to one of those other women that you met in the class, and they will gladly go through it with you.
These are women who are all looking to do the same thing. We are each other's helping hand. Sandy always said it, there's nothing wrong with your hands. Maybe we can't do it alone, but you know, you just need a few extra hands and you can tackle anything. So that's kind of what I got out of this course.
It just really makes you feel like you can do even more, and that you're trusting your abilities and you're trusting what you can do on your own.
Having to learn like this valuable piece in your own home and saying I can do this, or I can try this out and say look what I did. I can step back and say I was pretty darn amazing at this, and that's the other cool piece about this whole experience.
Thank you.
group of homes behind me are more than just a neighborhood. It's actually an alternative housing model known as co-housing, which has created an eco-friendly, multi-generational community with a focus on shared resources.
People move to co-housing communities because they want to live in community with one another.
The reciprocity, you know, the doing for each other, helping each other out, just made life easier for everybody.
I think the basic concept that we can live a richer life by sharing things than each living independently just makes a lot of sense.
Located on 7 acres of land just south of Benton Hill Park sits Prairie Hill Co-Housing. What is now Iowa City's first co-housing community began with a group of people looking for a new way of living.
So we started out with the concept of a place where people could age in place and realized that really there were no models out there that were close to what we were thinking of, and came across the concept of co-housing on the internet.
Co-housing is often confused with other housing models.
Although we share many things, we also own our own homes and don't share finances.
So there's no shared economy, there's no central doctrine, and the common misconception is that it's a commune or a co-op, when in reality the legal structure is a homeowners association.
After years of research, discussions, and field trips, the core group of the community found this land and began working with architects to design a blueprint that fit their needs, including a smaller carbon footprint.
From the start, we wanted energy efficient homes. Being smaller units makes it more energy efficient, but the walls are basically super insulated.
Building new gave us the opportunity to do it right. We put together a plan that has built super insulated, all electric, solar ready homes. We are very close to net zero here, which means that we can live like we're living and not have the kind of negative impact on the earth that we were having before.
In my unit last year, it was a net zero, that I produced as much electricity as I consumed for my heating, cooling.
A smaller living space with shared elements is a key component to the co-housing model.
Co-housing started in Denmark back in the 1970s. The concept was to have people living in a community with a common house so that you could have common meals and share lots of the resources.
You downsize your own individual home because the idea is you have shared indoor and outdoor spaces that you share with your community members. So we live in a two-bedroom apartment that is quite a bit smaller than the home that we moved from, but we have access to a great kitchen, living room space. There's a wonderful playroom over in the common house for the children, and we live on about 9 acres of land that we all work on and have outdoor community events at.
The common house is the nucleus of the community, buzzing with activities, meetings, and celebrations. The space also features a large kitchen and dining room.
We do community cooking every Tuesday night. It's called Tasty Tuesday. People sign up to cook a meal, and people sign up to help out either for the prep time or the cleanup so that the chef doesn't have to do all of it. And so my family really enjoys doing that.
The concept of sharing applies to many different items, both big and small.
Does everyone have to own a salad shooter? No, but there are occasions where a salad shooter might be handy, or a waffle iron, or an ice cream maker, or whatever. And so a bunch of those things are down there, and if you need one, you go down and borrow it.
We have berry bushes, we have trees that are growing, we have a huge community garden, and we're looking at, as we continue to grow, getting to the point where we're making food and we're really being thoughtful about how does this feed not just our community, but also our community around us.
We have a shop in one of the garage areas, and that with woodworking and other equipment and power tools in there, people can borrow what they need. The women had just built a pergola.
These tasks and activities are enjoyed by residents of all ages.
I would just say that as a parent, it's been invaluable. Not having family nearby, living here has been, I can't express how great it's been for our family. My youngest daughter is joining the knitting circle that's going to be made up of retired women and her. She's 7. She's learning how to sew from one of our neighbors. They learned to play pool the other day. They're learning to play chess. So it's a really wonderful thing.
It's very hands-on and very enriching for them and for us. It's really, really made for good relationships with the kids. They trust us, they like us, they know us, and they just liven things up amazingly.
And it's that sense of community that many Prairie Hill residents find the most rewarding.
If you need something, you can ask a neighbor. If you need help on something, there's people around because you know them. You're more willing to ask them because you're also volunteering to help them. Where I was living before, you might see people once a year at a meeting, and that was it. You know, you didn't really know your neighbors very well.
There are quite a few people here who are older, and there have been some people who've had surgeries, and there's always a group of people who come together and plan for meals and plan for checking on them and plan for taking them to the hospital or wherever they need to go, doctor's offices, checkups. And that's something that you don't find in every neighborhood.
Once it's all completed, Prairie Hill will include 36 units. And while that limits how many people can be a part of this community, they hope their philosophies will be an example for others.
It's something we as a community, I think, will move toward doing is showing things off so that people can say, oh, I could do that.
I think there are a number of things that we model here that could be used in other settings. You know, one of them is the native turf. There's the energy efficiency, but there's also the social aspects. There's all the robust social connections, you know, the caring for each other.
Getting to this point took countless hours of research, planning, and work, but the end results make it all worthwhile.
Sometimes I just stand up on top of that hill and look. Getting from there to here has been challenging, rewarding.
Time-consuming.
But am I glad I did this? Was a part of doing this? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, really fulfilling.
It's been one of the most fulfilling things I've ever done.
My name is Kathy Coleman, and I have been living at Deerfield Commons for about 6 years now. We had several different issues that had plagued this property for several years. Some of them were ice dams that even led to water coming into people's homes.
The ice dams were up to 2 feet thick. It was impressive. My name's Bob Verplatzi. I own RAV Services. While I was working on the ice dams, I happened to notice all the snow had melted off the roofs, which told me that there just isn't enough insulation up there.
One of the big things that we had is water getting into the units, and that was obviously a problem because there was damage to personal properties as well as structural damage that was happening to the buildings. As far as applying, it was pretty straightforward what needed to be done, and to me seems like a really easy process.
It has made a huge, huge difference. I've personally talked to 8 residents that says, hey, it's so much warmer upstairs now, it's unbelievable.
Almost immediately, I could tell that it was warmer upstairs. I know that our thermostat, we've been able to lower it 4 degrees. We usually had it set at about 72 in the winter times, and now it's set at 68.
I can look at the same units this year, and we don't have ice dams like we did. I mean, it is a visible difference from the outside of the house. The insulation will last for many years. They shouldn't have to touch it for the next 12 to 15 years.
I've gotten calls from other homeowners that have even expressed the change on their bills, even within the short period of time that we've had it done.
Insulation is key if you want to stay warm. It saves your budget, and also you have a nice warm house.
I would definitely recommend this to anybody. I would have your insulation inspected and definitely apply for funding to help, because it's made a huge difference.
That's our show. We'll be back soon with another edition of Iowa City in Focus.